This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Let's begin.
The Arizona desert, Canyon de Chelly. I had set up camp on the Native American reservation. Little did I know that this night would transform into a trauma etched into my memory forever. As I lay half awake, lost in the realm between sleep and consciousness, suddenly, a violent shake of my tent jolted me fully awake. Outside of my tent, a voice, rough and threatening, shattered the stillness promising harm and chaos. My heart raced, and I fumbled for something to defend myself, but my hands found nothing but the fabric of the tent walls. "Can I help you?" I managed to croak, my voice laced with a mix of fear and confusion. But the words just hung in the air, unanswered, as the unseen intruder continued. "My boys are coming over, and we're going to mess you up." In the grip of fear, I longed for some form of protection, but I had no weapon to shield myself from the unknown danger just outside of my tent. If I had possessed a firearm at that moment, the impulse to defend myself might have driven me to shoot blindly through the tent. It was a scary thought, the realization that fear could twist my instincts into something cruel like that. Minutes felt like hours, as the threat outside persisted. Then, a new sound ripped through the night, the unmistakable sound of my truck door being wrenched open and slammed shut, over and over again. My mind raced with the possibilities of what might be happening to my vehicle, my only means of escape. A tense silence followed, broken only by the pounding of my heart. Summoning every ounce of courage, I decided I couldn't stay hidden any longer. Slowly and silently, I unzipped the tent and peeked outside. I saw a shadowy figure sitting in the driver's seat of my truck, the interior light casting glimmers across his face. Panic seized me. My phone, the lifeline connecting me to help, was inside of my truck. Without a second thought, I dashed toward neighboring tents like 100 yards away, desperately waking up fellow campers, telling them what happened and asking if I could use their phone. The responses were a mix of fear and reluctance. Three people turned me away, their faces twisted with apprehension, until a compassionate couple agreed to help. With shaking hands, I dialed 911, my voice cracking as I relayed the terrifying events unfolding in the wilderness. Soon after, the flashing lights of a police car pierced through the darkness, a beacon of hope in my hour of desperation. The local cops arrived. Their authoritative presence gave me comfort. They swiftly located the source of my terror, a drunken 19-year-old, passed out of my truck, surrounded by my belongings, my phone, my iPod, and other personal items stuffed into his pockets. The police officers handled the situation with ease, escorting the intoxicated intruder away in their car. As I watched him being driven away, a wave of relief washed over me. I had survived the night, but the experience left a mark on me. Afterwards, I reflected on the incident, grappling with the knowledge that fear nearly had propelled me into a dangerous choice. The absence of a weapon had spared an innocent young man from my misguided fear-fueled actions. What would have happened if I had a gun next to me in my tent on that night?
Let's The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Let's begin.
This happened to me about 8 years ago in my old parental house. I was home alone and my parents were out for their anniversary dinner, leaving me in charge of our old Victorian house. I was pretty much your typical teenager, lost in the world of social media and homework, unaware of the dangers that lurked beyond the safety of our front door. As the dusk settled, the house always seemed to come alive with eerie creaks and noises. I tried to drown out the unsettling noises by turning up the volume on my favorite playlist, but an inexplicable feeling of unease settled in the pit of my stomach. I shook it off, attributing it to my overreactive imagination. But just something deep within me told me otherwise. My parents had always emphasized the importance of safety, locking all the doors and windows before they left, so I didn't bother checking on it when they went out the front door. Despite my efforts to reassure myself, a nagging thought persisted. What if someone had been watching, waiting for this moment when I was home alone? I decided to busy myself with homework, attempting to bury my fears beneath the weight of textbooks and assignments. However, every little noise outside made my heart race. I tried calling my parents, seeking solace in their voices, but there was no answer. I remember a gust of wind rattled the windows, and I jumped. My nerves stretched to their limits. Then I heard it. A dull, almost imperceptible sound, like an old door being fumbled around with. I instantly muted my music, straining my ears to listen. Silence settled in the room, broken only by the faint ticking of the antique clock on the wall. Just as I convinced myself it was only my imagination, I heard it again, this time more distinct. My heart lodged itself in my throat as I tiptoed to the window, peering into the darkness outside. There, at the back door of my house, a silhouette, a shadowy figure with malicious intent. Panic seized me, rendering me motionless. I knew I had to act to protect myself. Adrenaline coursed through my veins as I sprinted to my parents' room, searching for anything that could serve as a weapon. My hands closed around a heavy brass lamp, its base cold and reassuring in my grip. Armed with newfound determination, I mustered the courage to confront the intruder. I crept downstairs, my every movement calculated and silent. At this point, the intruder had made it inside. Their presence now felt in the very air I breathed. My mind raced, thinking of escape routes, of the ways to defend myself if it came to that. I inched closer to the living room, my senses heightened, my breath caught on my throat. There, standing in the dim light, was a man, his face obscured by the shadows. Fear and anger mingled within me as I demanded to know his purpose. He didn't respond. He froze up, probably thinking he would not encounter anybody that night. I tightened my grip on the lamp, my knuckles turning white. I warned him to leave, my voice surprisingly steady despite my fear and rush of adrenaline. But he didn't. Instead, he took a step towards me. His intentions were clear. In that very moment, my instinct took over. I swung the lamp with all my strength, the metallic thud echoing through the room as it connected with his shoulder. He let out a cry of pain, stumbling backwards. It was my chance, my only chance. I turned and ran, my legs carrying me as fast as they could towards the front door, I could hear his footsteps right behind me, his enraged shouts filling in the air. I burst through the door, the cold night biting into my skin, and I didn't stop running until I reached the safety of my neighbor's house. The police were called, and they searched our home. Another police unit found the intruder a couple of blocks away from my house, a man with history of violence and burglary. It turned out he had been watching our house. The police found a small cross scratched into our front door. This was a way of marking our house being empty. Groups of burglars do this to communicate when to strike. If it hadn't been for my quick thinking and courage, the situation could have ended much more differently. In the days that followed, I couldn't shake off the feeling of dread that had settled within me. The incident had changed something fundamental, something deep inside. I became more aware, more cautious, understanding that danger could lurk in the most unexpected places. Looking back, I realized how fragile a sense of security could be and how important it is to trust my instincts. I had faced my worst nightmare and emerged stronger. The experience taught me the value of bravery, reminding me that even in the face of paralyzing fear, we can find the strength to fight back and survive.
Let's begin.
This is a true story from my mother's childhood. My mom is in her late 50s, and this happened when she was about 14 years old, around 1971 or 72 in Alabama. It was fall season, so this happened in October or November. My mom did not tell me this story until I was in college, and this creeped me out ever since. Here it goes. My mother is the oldest of five children. She has three sisters and a brother, who is the baby of the family. One weekend in the cooler months of the fall, my grandfather decided to take the whole family, my grandmother, my mother, and all my aunts and uncles, so seven people in total, into the woods for target practice with a rifle. My mother grew up quite poor, and they didn't always live in the best neighborhoods, so my grandfather wanted to teach the kids how to defend themselves with a rifle if they need to be. Since it was autumn, the trees were bare, and there were lots of dead leaves on the ground. The wooded area was just off a dirt road, so this was a fairly rural area they were in. Since it was so far off the beaten path, my grandfather became startled when he heard the roar of a car engine so deep in the woods. My mom remembers the car as being a blue Ford Galaxy. Despite the fact that my grandfather had a gun, his wife and kids were with him, so he totally freaked out and told my grandma and the kids to hide under a pile of leaves in the woods. He hid with them. The man in the driver's seat got out, dragged the woman's body out of the car, and just dumped her there in the woods and drove away. After my grandfather was sure that the man had gone, everyone came out of hiding, and the woman sat up on her own and stared them straight in the face. My grandfather asked the woman if she needed help, but she said no, she would be fine. She didn't seem to be injured and obviously didn't want help. She hadn't put up a fight with the man when he was dragging her out of the car. She must have known him maybe. So my grandfather cut the shooting lesson short and decided to rush the kids home to safety. He had plans to return to the area later. Well, on the trail back to the dirt road where my grandfather had parked their car, they passed the man in the blue Ford Galaxy driving slowly out of the woods. My mom looked over and noticed that he had a huge machete laying across the front seat right beside him. My grandfather made sure that the man could see that he was carrying a rifle, but everyone was careful not to give away what they have just seen. The man struck up small talk with my grandfather, asked him how he was doing and what they were doing out here in the woods. My grandfather explained that he was just taking his family out for some target practice with the rifle. The man told him to have a nice day and continue driving. The next day, my grandfather went back out to that spot in the woods. However, he did find the woman's wig, her purse, some Kleenex, and a pair of eyeglasses. He collected the items and took them home. According to my grandfather, That area of the woods was known for having shallow graves and being a dumping site for bodies. My mother became hysterical when he walked in the door carrying that stuff. She started screaming, "He killed that lady! He killed that lady!" My grandfather ended up taking the items to the police station, but my mom doesn't think anything ever came of it. She never heard anything else after that. Well, she did hear one other thing about it, I guess. Early next morning, my grandmother called my mom when she arrived at work, just before the kids left for school. My grandmother worked as a cashier and had to be at work very early in the morning, so my mother, being the eldest, was tasked with getting everyone else ready for school. My mother answered the phone, and my grandmother told her not to take the bus that day, that she would come home and pick all the kids up and drive them to school. When my mom asked why, my grandmother said, "Because that blue Ford Galaxy's waiting at the bus stop the whole day, and I don't trust any of it."
Thank you for being here when you have so many other options.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.